Jeffrey Kramer lives and breathes Thoreau. He may know more about the Bard of Walden Pond than anyone else alive. He's the editor of The Portable Thoreau, The Quotable Thoreau, and other books by old Henry David. Steve Paulson recently caught up with Kramer to talk about the man behind the myth.
There are not many people who died 150 years ago who still matter today, who are still vital in our own time. But Henry David Thoreau seems to be one of these people. Why do you think so?
I think because the time that Thoreau lived in is not so different from the time we find ourselves in today. Families were torn apart where there were a lot of political issues. They were headed towards a civil war. Issues such as slavery were tearing neighbor from neighbor. Banks were closing. Businesses were closing. They hit a financial crisis similar to what we're having today. So the things that Thoreau was writing about and talking about are the same issues that we're dealing with right now.
Well, he is famous for his essay, Civil Disobedience, which grew out of his own refusal to pay taxes, right?
Right. He went to jail for refusing to pay his tax. He didn't really want to support a government that allowed slavery or in any way endorsed or supported slavery. So it was his social protest.
How did that go over, his night in jail and the essay that came out of that?
Emerson thought that Thoreau was going to jail was what he called mean and skulking. But within a few days, Emerson actually turned around and realized what Thoreau was doing and realized that a lot of abolitionists were talking about slavery and protesting it in various ways, but they paid their tax and they supported the government. And Thoreau was one of the few people that Emerson knew that took a stand.
That's a point worth making. I mean, you're really saying that Thoreau was a man of action, while Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, his mentor, was more a man of words.
Yeah, I think we can say that. I mean, Emerson was inspirational to a lot of people in his generation and beyond. But Thoreau was the person who took those ideals and did something with them. Thoreau went to jail and wrote his essay, Civil Disobedience, or what was originally called Resistance to Civil Government. By writing that essay, he influenced generations. So he was influencing people like Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights Movement, Tolstoy in Russia, Gandhi in India. And every student who tried to end the Vietnam War probably had a copy of Civil Disobedience in their backpack.
Henry David Thoreau was an ardent abolitionist. He came from an abolitionist family, right?
Yes. His mother, his sister, everybody was an abolitionist in the Thoreau family. The family house was a stop on the Underground Railroad. Thoreau himself would take care of escaped slaves or fugitive slaves, bathing their feet, attending to them, making sure that they were healthy enough to travel north. And he would actually buy tickets for the railroad and bring the slave to the railroad when he felt it was safe, when there were no slave catchers around.
He was also an outspoken supporter of John Brown. And this was after John Brown's famous attack on Harper's Ferry. I mean, he'd killed people. He was captured, condemned to death. And he was probably not a very popular man in America at that point. And Thoreau spoke out in his defense.
Yeah, Thoreau was the first person in this country to speak out in favor of John Brown. And it was a very controversial time. He was being about to be hanged for treason and murder, and support of him, even by Northern abolitionists, was something that wasn't readily forthcoming. And Thoreau got up in a church in Concord and spoke in favor of John Brown, actually comparing him to Jesus Christ, a very bold thing to do. Although Thoreau is not necessarily endorsing violence, he did say that there are times when it is okay to kill and to be killed. That's a sentiment you would not find in Civil Disobedience, but it is coming directly from Thoreau.
Well, it also sounds like you're saying that Thoreau believed in living out your values, not just writing about them, but experiencing what you believe.
He did. But also, all the things that Thoreau experienced were fodder for his writings. For example, we look at Walden Pond, his time at Walden, as one of those seminal moments in Thoreau's life. But he left the pond because Emerson was going off to Europe and needed somebody to take care of the family and the house. And Thoreau did something I find very, very significant that people tend to ignore. He packed his bags and moved into Concord, into the Emerson house. So why did he leave 3 weeks earlier than he had to? Because the experience of Walden was just an experience, something he was pulling in. It was the writing of Walden that created the book that we now associate with Henry David Thoreau.
You're shattering some of my illusions here.
Sorry about this, Steve.
I thought he was going off to Walden to lead the simple life and to figure out what it meant to live deliberately.
Right. Well, that is what he says in the book. And I don't mean to shatter illusions, because the things that Thoreau wrote about and the ideals he represents are real. But they come out of the thought process of writing. And in the 9 years that he was writing that book and the 7 drafts to create the book Walden, it went through a lot of changes. So there's that difference between the character in the story or the character even in the essay and the real person.
What do you most like about Walden?
Well, the writing. I mean, the writing is just beautiful. The structure of the book, the prose is so magnificent that almost every line is poetry. But what I also like is it forces at least somebody like me to question, how are we living our lives? What should we be doing? How should we interact with our neighbors? What are we here on Earth for? What's the purpose of being here? What I get out of Walden are questions we should be asking ourselves.
Questions, not answers.
Exactly.
Now, we haven't even talked about Thoreau, the environmentalist. I mean, he's usually thought of as one of the founding fathers of the environmental movement. Is that a mistake?
It's both true and a mistake. Definitely there are passages in his writings that are environmental, and they certainly lead to the writers, John Muir and various other people who became the great environmentalists and starting up the national park system and doing various things. But there's also things in Thoreau that don't point in that direction. And Thoreau is a very complex figure.
When you say that he wasn't exactly an environmentalist, why do you say that? And were there certain things that he did that would run counter to our environmental values today?
Yeah. For instance, when he went to the Maine woods, he took several excursions to Maine. And there's one point in one of the essays, Chesuncook, where he and his friends burned enough wood, he said, to fuel a home back in Concord for an entire winter. And he doesn't talk about it with any sense of regret. He calls it agreeable. Now, to give him his due, several years later, he did talk about the fact that we should have legislation about how much wood we should burn. And it's not fair that one person burns 1 quart of wood while some wealthier neighbor burns 10 quarts. So he's not easy to pigeonhole. And Thoreau, strangely enough, puts man or humanity central. There's a statement he wrote that he says, man is all in all, nature nothing. So when he goes out into nature, really what he's looking for, besides all the beauty of nature and everything that inspires him, it's the inspiration for writing, to create something. So nature is there for his use.
Do you think he saw nature as a source of the sacred?
Absolutely. He did not like formalized religion. Of course, that day the church in many ways supported slavery. But he was very, very religious. He said that basically that what other people would call religion, he would call nature. That his going out into nature was almost like going into church for him.
Now, we usually associate Thoreau with the transcendentalists. I mean, he and Emerson and a group of other, particularly writers of the time. Were these values shared by the transcendental movement in general?
They were. The idea of transcendentalism, which is, again, one of those terms that people tend to think of as very complicated, is actually very simple. And that is really the idea of faith in things unseen, things that transcend your day-to-day knowledge and experiences. So their faith was such that there is a God, there is a spirit. And for instance, when Emerson left the church, it's because he did not believe in giving the sacrament. It was not that he was turning away from God, but that he didn't believe in certain rituals of the formalized church.
One final question about how you say his name. I've been struck by you say his name different than the way I do and everyone else does. Thoreau, not
right.
Thoreau.
Right. Everything we know about how his name should be pronounced indicates that it should be Thoreau. It's the way it's always been pronounced in his hometown of Concord. There are places where people wrote his name phonetically, not knowing how to spell it. You would say Thoreau. Thoreau would refer to himself as a thoroughbred businessman because his father was a businessman, and he'd make puns on his name. So there are a lot of indications that this would be the proper way to say it.
Well, I think I stand corrected, but I don't know if I can change the way I say it.
When I learned this many, many years ago, it took about a year of practicing before I could say it in a natural way. So don't even try.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Jeffrey Kramer talking with Steve Paulson. Kramer's the editor of The Portable Thoreau and The Quotable Thoreau. After that last exchange, I felt like we needed to give it some thorough thought.